Y'all can hear me, huh? I gotta test it. That's as far as I can count, to be honest with you. I'm good with money, though. Well, it's a blessing to be here with y'all again. Man, the Lord ain't gonna leave me alone. For whoever this is for, come back tonight. But there's at least three or four of you here right now that are really struggling. And you're questioning God. And you're not here by accident. We don't really have time to do what I would like to do. But tonight we're going to be praying. You might even have doubts. I don't know. Tell you what, get the CD from yesterday on a barren season. It will help you. It's helped me extremely. I've been through a lot in these last 10 months. But CDs are free. If not, I'll pay for them. Get them. But there's at least four of you right here that are really struggling in life and you're really questioning yourself and your faith. And if you're not saved, tonight's a good night to do it and accept Christ in your life. And if you are saved and maybe you drifted away, hey, God still has his arms open. He still loves you. He's not surprised. He knows our weaknesses. We're all human. There's nobody perfect, and if we was, well, we wouldn't need Jesus Christ. But if you want to live a life where life seems like there is no way, I'm telling you, who is the way maker? And that's Jesus Christ. And he can set the crooked path straight. So if that's for you, just grab hold of it. And I'm going to be waiting for you tonight. And if you can't come tonight, maybe after everything's over, we'd be more than glad to pray for you if you can't come tonight. But I encourage you to come tonight because I know God's going to do something. And I'll be honest with you, I don't really think he's going to wait for tonight. But that's his thing. Amen? Well, before I start on this, it's just a missions-based message. I wanted to start giving an update on the farm in Nicaragua. And like Pastor Scott said, then the conditions have improved. It's safe to go back. I've got some of our friends that have gone back. They got missions bases up in the mountains. And really, the issues right now is just internal and through the government, just like our government. So it affects nothing to missions and what we do in the mission field and with the children. So, you know, it's kind of late in the year for a lot of the churches to go on missions trips this year because of the finances and all. But 2020 is going to be blow and go. And for some churches that I know, I believe this year we're going in. And like Pastor Scott said, I'll be leaving, Lord willing, at the end of February or March after our yearly conference. I'm going to go back and put my feet back on the ground. I got Georgian Haseli there. He's my spiritual son. He's doing a great job. For the ones that was here when I was here last time, y'all heard me whining and complaining and crying because I'm not there and it's still growing. And apparently they don't need Frank, but it's all good, you know. You know, Pastor Scott come over last night and he was letting me listen to a prophetic tape, some prophecy that they received, and something that just really touched my spirit. And to me, I read it like this, I heard it like this. You had one garden, but I want to give you two gardens. But I'm going to combine the two gardens. And in my mind, I'm saying two gardens is a lot of work. How many of y'all had gardens before? Yeah, that's a lot of work, huh? You got to be picking up weeds and everything else. Well, now you got two. And I talked to Jason about this. But God has taken to me a place that even I'm whining and complaining because I come out of my first garden, he's given me another garden. So now I can still do what I do in missions, just at another level, and George takes my place and come to the States and preach and pick up financing for the farm and still work here through the grace of God, and it's not really more work because his grace is on you. I think, you know, there's some business owners out here, you're really scared to go out because you say it's more work, but I tell you, if God has his hand on it, do it. Because it's not, it's going to be more work, more revenue, but no pressure. Amen? And this year, as we go into Nicaragua, there's a lot of needs that need to be met. You know, we had the war, a lot of structural damage, Hurricane Mike that destroyed Florida and everything else went through Nicaragua too, and it tore up a lot of our feeding stations and people that, you know, just had little tin huts and plastic houses. There's a lot of work to do. You know, we can go in and labor and help them, and, you know, everybody get together and help fund some of this. It's not very expensive. Mostly it's just walking in love as God has commanded us to do. And I'm wanting to go back sooner, but I don't know if the Lord's going to let me that quick. I'd like to leave tomorrow if I could, but I know I'm whining again. But anyways, I wanted you to know that the farm is doing great. We're going to show a video at the end. The kids made y'all something for y'all's church. It was pretty cool. They made a banner, and it has our White Dove logo, and then it says, Hello, Lifegate Church. And then they all took their handprints and paint, and they put it on there. And then when I come back again or from the Nicaragua, I'll bring it to Pastor Scott or Mellet, and y'all can hang it down in the kids' room or the foyer, whatever, and just remind you of what y'all are a part of. Just like y'all are in Bulgaria, and God knows where else he's going to take you. Missions is unlimited. There's so much that can be done. George right now is running between 50 and 60 kids at the feeding station. Well, they have two soccer teams now that represent the church, and they play other soccer teams. Yesterday they went into the neighborhoods and the city to go sell coffee because I can't bring all the coffee out. So he said, you know they're not going to pay $10 for coffee here. And I said, well, I'm not going to tell you like I told Pastor Scott, but I said, y'all know my background. You can break it down in smaller portions and sell it and still end up with the $10 that we're looking for. You know, so I said, do that. So the kids, they're sowing into missions, but not there because they're believing that they can go on a missions trip too. But if you don't sow in that direction, you're never going to go. Those kids will be stuck in Nicaragua all the time. So we take that money from the coffee and we put it aside, and one day God's going to make a way where it seems like there is no way. I've seen him do it time and time again. Don't ever let money limit you from going to where God's called you to do. And he has called you. Like I said, it's kind of late to prepare for missions this year for some churches, but hey, we're facing it blow and go. And I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of you next year. You owe it to yourself. Before I go into some of this message, anybody got any questions about Nicaragua? Or forever hold your peace. I'm Hispanic. We don't tolerate latecomers very much. Ah, Lord, I had to break the mold here. You know what? I want to pray. Tonight I want... Who else is going to be here tonight? Who can be here tonight? Don't lie to me because I'll come look for you. I don't have to leave this week because I just looked at the weather where I'm at and I can't work all next week, so I will stay and come get you. Tonight, we're going to talk about prayer and the power of prayer. Y'all are a missions-based church, but until you can walk in unity, in power, in authority, you will shake no nation. But if you can come in agreement through power and prayer, not going to prayer and listening, but praying, speaking it out. God spoke the world into existence to show us that we need to do the same. What world are you forming with the words of your mouth? You know, I'm going to keep saying, hey, I'm going to Managua, I'm going to Managua, I'm going to Managua. I don't care what the circumstance, I'm going to Managua. Now, the timing that God had, but I am going to Managua. And because now I've been saying, you know what, I ain't just called to Managua. I'm called to the nations. And the door has opened. I don't know if Shelly's going to go with me, but we're going to the Amazon. I'm wanting to go in July. Another missions-based church that I know, and Pastor Joseph Crouch is his name. We got almost the same spirit, and he's just kind of hungry for the tribal Indians there. And I'm kind of wishy-washy because I can't swim, and he says, we got to get in a little bitty boat and go upstream. And I said, eh. But I feel the peace of God on it, so I think I'm going to test the waters. I'm going to feel brave. What can I lose if I die? I got eternal life. I'll be waving at you and say, hey, guys, y'all better hurry up, man. Y'all are really suffering down there. And I'll see my mama. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto men in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am always with you, even to the end of the world. Amen. I want you to repeat after me. I think he's talking to me. Some of you hard-headed. I think he's talking to me. Yeah, he is talking to you. He's telling you something. We have a mandate to go into the nations. Now, maybe not all of us will stay in the nations or go in 6 months or 8 months, but we are all called to the nations to do our part, to do what God's called us to do. The problem is there's so much work out there and not enough laborers because not everybody believes they're called into the nations. You know, I don't mind going, but it takes resources, it takes help, it takes people from this side to get us to do what we do and to help Pete and Ursula do what they do and the missionaries that are all over the world. I tell you what, when you go into the mission fields, you will learn what it is to live by faith. But God uses people like y'all, like this church, like Pastor Scott, like Pastor Don, and other churches that we know to help us to manifest this mandate here on earth. Missions is a beautiful, beautiful experience for people that have never gone. Who's never gone on a missions trip? You owe it to yourself to go. It was the best thing I ever did. You meet so many people and so many opportunities to meet the needs of people that have no hope. And you have the opportunity to manifest Christ and lead them to the Lord. You know, sometimes you don't even have to preach to people or open your Bible, but manifest Christ through your daily walk, and it'll lead them to salvation. I've seen it time and time again because you're real. You're not a religious person or somebody trying to beat somebody over the head with a Bible. You're living Christ in you, and it's being manifested, and it gets people's attention. I see this in prison ministry all the time. Because they'll say, why don't you come in here and just make us feel condemned? I say, because that's not my job. I mess up just like you do. I mess up every day. I have my doubts. I have my fears. I have my weak times. But together, we can walk in unity and power. And the Holy Spirit's always there. Where's that hunger that the church is losing to go into the nations? Where's that hunger that we had when we first got saved? This hustle-bustle world takes it from us. God gives each and every one of us the ability and the capability to go about doing good. That's what Jesus did. He went about doing good. He went about healing. He went about restoring people. That's what we should be doing, and that's what you all are doing. You know, I love what y'all are doing here with these families that are homeless right now. That is a great work. I told Jason after service, I'm going to pray for Jason because I know there's people in this church. They're going to help him and Karen push this. Not to condemn them, not to criticize them, but to love on them. And it's a good system the way it's structured. And through the structure that they're speaking of, it helps educate them and motivate them to get a job and then to get their own home. And by faith, we're going to believe that they'll be a member of this church or another church to be responsible Christians in the community. That's a great work. On the farm, I'm changing things, and I've been talking to George. You know, we've been feeding kids for 15 years now, and that's a good thing, but we're moving more in discipleship, forming leaders, forming people that are courageous and brave and want to go out there and help the needy, help the poor and the surrounding areas, and to go do street ministry, to go visit the elderly. Why? Because, you know, and there ain't nothing wrong with feeding the kids, but, you know, the reality of it is a lot of it, you feed them and they go and there's no fruit of what we see. You might see one here or there, but when you can use the food to bring them in to disciple them, now you're doing something, because now you're raising somebody that can impact, somebody that can shake, somebody that can move. And that's what we're starting to see now. So not so much giving them the milk of the word now. Well, now we're giving them the word to grow them and strengthen them to impact and to be George's right hand, to reach out to a lost and hurting world. You know, like I said, that was good for that season. That season's over. Now we're educating. Now we're raising them up to be responsible leaders. And God is doing a mighty work, because when Pastor Scott came and the team, it was mostly young ladies at the church. There was at least 48 girls, 45 girls, and maybe 6 or 7 boys at the most. And now it's taken a flip to where it's nothing but young men and 8 or 9 girls. And that dance team and the team that they're working with women is growing. But I'm seeing that the gospel is changing the lives of these young men. And it wasn't because George is just preaching and preaching to them. It's because George, before we left, we formed that soccer team. And the kids, the young men that have no father, now have a father in George and Alex. And George and Alex don't criticize them. No matter, I mean, we'll put them like, hey, if you don't quit that bad word you're saying and getting mad. And you know how kids are. The boys, they fight on the soccer field. You sit down. Well, I don't want to. Well, you're going to sit down or you're going to have to leave. But they're learning respect. They're learning how to become responsible young men in the community. Because in Nicaragua, a young man is just looking out to conquer women. It's about how many girls, and I hate to say it like this, can I get pregnant? And that makes me a man. And that's a twisted way of thinking. But these young men now are realizing, no, I have to respect that young lady. I have to respect my elders. I have to respect authority. And we're doing it through the Word of God to change the next generation. A new focus. And that's the direction that we're heading in, because that is our future of our farm. You know, I'd love to stay there all the time, but I can see God's brought me into a new season, and George got some, he's kicking and screaming just like me. Hey, when you coming back? When you come? I ain't got nobody to talk to. I said, bro, you got Facebook. You got Messenger. That's just the way we have to communicate. But just like I had to learn the hard way, so do you. Because if not, I'm just going to teach you what I know, and you won't grow. But I can send you messages and encourage you, and then you have to listen to the Holy Ghost and see what the Spirit of the Lord's telling you to take them into a new direction, because I can't change a culture. But if I have George and Hoselis and Alexis and Claudias that can grasp the concept, they can change the nation, because now they're prospering. Before I left, George was building a house, and he was just blessed. He's a tither and a giver, and man, people would come in and help, and the teams would come in. We'd go help put the roof on his little house. He bought a little bitty house. It was like from here to there, one door there, one door there. That was their house. The bed here and the table over there. I think Lizzie's seen it. I don't know where she's at. And yeah, Maria. And he said, well, it's mine, though. And he was happy, and I was happy for him. I said, hey, bro. I said, what kind of faith you got? I got a lot of faith. I said, okay, go to my truck. I said, what for? I said, go get my string line. Get my tape and bring it back. Me and Shelly and Haseli were there. And then I said, now mark out the corners. Show me where your faith's at. He goes, well, what's this for? I said, well, you need to add to it. You're fixing to have a baby. So he pulls a little string line on. He goes like 15 foot. I said, dude, you still got like 50 foot of yard. Yeah, but I said, no buts. I said, how far does your faith go? And he went out and he stopped, what, 15 foot from the backyard? Yeah. And he marks it all out. He goes, Pastor, how am I going to do that? I said, don't you tithe? Yeah. Don't you give? Yeah. And then I had to break it down. I said, after 5 o'clock, how many hours do you stay with me here on this farm every day? Well, 2 or 3. And Saturday, you don't work, but you're here with me how many hours? About 12. And he added it up. And when I did the total add-up of all the hours, I said, dude, you're selling almost $600, $700 a month in time, because time equates to money. I said, so God's not going to be a debtor to no man, so I see this house. Do you see it? And an inside bathroom. Because he didn't want an outside bathroom. I said, well, now that's faith. And you know what? Within 1 year, the bricks showed up. The walls went up. A church out of California, they didn't even know George had a house. He goes, man, I really feel that young man needs something. But yeah, well, we've been believing for a roof. Paid cash for it. All the roof. He goes, man, if I got all this, then they told Shelly and me, we want an inside bathroom just like you Americans got. I said, well, all you got to do is believe. He goes, let's mark it out. We marked it out. We marked the doors. He goes, well, since it wasn't this far, I want ceramic floors like you got. I said, well, all you got to do is believe. So you know what? He's got this house. ceramic floors, inside, outside, inside bathroom, hot water, cold water, something not everybody has. And he's happy he's going to move in it. And all of a sudden, Frank has to leave Managua, so now he's living in my house. And he says, I tricked him, because when I left, he goes, why are you taking all your stuff out? I said, just because I'm going to take some of my stuff home. He says, well, why do you want me to stay in your house if you're coming back? I said, well, because my house is in the middle of the property, and you live like, because they were staying at the farm, and you live in the back, and from here you can see everything besides all the cameras and everything are in my house. I goes, yeah, but he looked at me like, yeah, you a liar, you liar. But anyways, about 2 weeks ago, no, it's been about a month, he says, Pastor, I got that house, but how long is it going to be before you come back? I said, the Lord told me to tell you to rent that house and make money. Save the money and buy another piece of land. Build that house and watch what God's going to do. Now, you're talking about a young man didn't have faith for one house. Now he's got a house that's paid for. He's renting it. He's living in my house. He has no bills to pay because we take care of everything on the farm. And in reality, between y'all two and us, I mean, I'm never going to live in that house again. Because when I come in and out, I have my own suite I can stay in now in my own office. So just from his tithing and giving and being faithful, where's he going to be at in 5 years from now? And they both have pharmaceutical degrees that they've never used. He graduated top of his class, and he ended up with me killing chickens and raising corn and toasting coffee. I don't know where that come from because it's not here. But somebody needed to hear that. Yeah, and he just bought a motorcycle last week, cash. I told him, don't ever, ever get in debt. I said, if you don't have the money to buy it, don't buy it. Unless it's a house, because now that is an investment. And then get smart about that, like you're flipping houses. And make money on that house. I said, but don't ever get in debt. You know, and I told George, I said, it does no good for you to know the Bible if you can't live out the Bible. It does no good for me to know scripture after scripture after scripture if I can't walk it out. And I don't mean just in here. I mean out there. We are the light of the world. We are the ones that are going to change. I told Pastor Scott earlier, I said, you know what? This house is a lighthouse. This year. And when I was over there in the corner, I saw it as a tornado coming through a field. And it ripped up the house, almost like in The Wizard of Oz. And the house landed. And I said, what is this? I said, I'm ripping this house up of what looked like a dry land. And I'm dropping it down in a piece of land that has nothing but flowers blooming around it and growth. And I believe God is fixing to explode this church. Because y'all are a light to this community. You don't judge. You walk in love. And everybody here has that loving kindred spirit. Do not lose it. You will draw people here that will think they just came by accident, but they didn't. They have a design purpose in this house to do the work of the ministry. Missions-based churches are powerful. I didn't say they have to be big, 2,000 or 3,000. I'm talking powerful. You can do a lot with 100 people. I preach in a lot of different churches, and they're not much bigger than this one, but I'm telling you, every one of them is a powerhouse in mission field. Even the biker churches that I preach at. I'm telling you, I don't want to say it, but I'm going to say it. They ain't afraid of no devil. I mean, I've come from that background. I've lived that life, and if that didn't scare me, this ain't going to scare me. I mean, let's go look for some devils, Pastor Frank. Let's go cast them out. And that's what we do. I mean, fearless men. I love that. I love that. But you know what? Come tonight, you're going to get a taste of that here tonight. You're going to pray like you never prayed. You're going to bind up devils like you never bound them up. You're going to cast devils out of generations in your family. You're going to take back what was lost. You have that power and authority in you, not just to retrieve what was lost, but to speak. I'm a missionary. I left my country. I left my family. I receive everything 100-fold, and I will accept nothing less than that because it's owed to me. And Jesus said that was my reward. You receive 30 and 60. And if you go into the nations, you receive 100 because you sponsor missionaries. Y'all fall under our covering to an extent in mission field. How many like 100-fold? Huh? Well, the rest of you, I got to pray for y'all. Y'all got some serious issues. I knew I brought this little bottle of oil for something. Ain't nobody like don't like 100-fold. When that devil steals, don't take it. I used to get mad. And then I got mad and I'd pray. And then now I get mad and I pray and I rejoice because I say, you know what? I learned something. That when the devil stole and I bound him up and I commanded him to release and I sent my angels forth, it was because God already knew I needed that much money down the road somewhere. Whether it was a plane ticket or going somewhere or a need or a car. Man, God blessed me with a charger 2 years ago when I was in the mission field, and I don't even need a car because I'm never here. And my wife already has one. So I said, what do I need a car for? But God already knew I was coming back to the States, I was going to take a job, and I wasn't going to have a car. And it might have sat in my garage for a year, but you understand? So what's the devil got that belongs to you that you're not claiming? Because you don't want people to think you cuckoo. You can think I'm cuckoo all I want, but I ain't struggling. And he blesses you in all sorts of ways. Man, I'm going all over the place. I don't know what's happening here. You see this shirt? Pastor Scott told me yesterday, I had another shirt on. He said, ain't no way I'd pay $90 for a shirt like that. I ain't trying. Don't get mad at me. He ain't got no tomatoes anyways. I said, I don't pay $90 for these shirts. They cost $90. But God's given me enough wisdom that I wait for JCPenney to put them on sale for $20 because winter's gone. And I buy them. So I have beaucoup shirts. Yeah, okay, sorry. See, that's even cheaper. Or we go to Winn-Dixie and we buy food and it's 2-for-1. The other day I bought 5 big old T-bone steaks. It was normally $42 for $18. Oh, Lord, but I ate those things. I was glad God released that to me. I needed that. But I'm Mexican. I ain't paying $75 for no steak. But God got it to me. I mean, we think that the money's just going to come from he does it in bits and pieces. He gives you wisdom. Go here. Go by there. Go do this. Go do that. He gives you favor with people. He drops stuff in your lap. Man, I can't even begin to tell you from the tithing and giving how much God blessed our business when we had it. I remember one time I didn't even want this stupid job because I had so much work and I bid it like 400 and something thousand above budget, and the Corps gave it to me just because they knew me. And I didn't really want it. That's why I bid it so high. But I got it. So I said, well, since I got the job, I might as well buy me another race truck, I guess, after I sow into missions. I know this sounds crazy to you, but I'm telling you, it works. God said, I will be a debtor to no man. And God ain't going to lie. He's not going to owe you nothing, you nothing, you nothing, you nothing. He just ain't going to do it. And like Pastor said, he's in heaven laughing at you. Here, try me again. Try me again. I had one thing. I wanted to go see the redwood trees before I died. Went to California 6 months again. They took me to go see the redwood trees. Paid my whole trip. Paid my hotel. Paid my food. What's your desire? What is God putting in your heart? Surely if God gives me all this, he can send you a missions trip to Managua next year. So I don't want to hear you crying and give me any excuses when I get back and you didn't show up. Because $1,200 ain't nothing for God. That's like a penny. I don't even think it's a penny. We limit God. We make excuses why we can't go. You owe it to yourself. Proverbs 16:6. It says, by mercy, I used this scripture yesterday, by mercy and love, truth and fidelity to God and man, not by things that you sacrificially do and through works, iniquity is purged out of our heart, and by reverent, worshipful fear of the Lord. By love and mercy and truth, iniquity is purged out of this heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? God's telling you your own heart cannot be trusted. But now he's telling you, look, if you walk in my decrees and my ways and listen to me, I can purge that thing out to where you and I are thinking and speaking the same. I used this example yesterday. I was meditating on this scripture Thursday, and I had to meet my daughter at the ferry, and I was on the way to the ferry, and she calls me. She goes, Dad, where you at? I said, I'm at Walmart, passing Walmart. I hung up. The Lord said, why you lied to her? I said, well, I didn't lie. I'm about 3/4 mile away from Walmart. He goes, it's a lie. I said, well, yeah, but it ain't no big lie. I'm almost there now while we're talking. I'm almost 1/4. He goes, it's still a lie. How am I going to purge your heart if you can't tell the truth about that? If you're not going to tell the truth about where you're at, well, what are you going to hide later? So I have to speak the truth so he can purge this out, so I can get in line with what he wants. So I can show mercy when I need to show mercy. So I can walk in love. So I can walk in truth. And so I can remain faithful to God. We have to form a strong discipleship program in order to work in unity together to impact the nations. And it's a process called carrying your cross. Each and every one of us have a cross to bear. My goal was to bring in churches from different denominations, I don't care, as long as we have precious like faith, into the farm so that people that are called into missions can see if they're really called into missions. To bring into the farm, to disciple the youth there, the young ladies, to work, to go into the communities and minister so you can impact their lives. That's not just going to help us on the farm, but it's going to help you to discern what your calling is in missions. Once again, don't forget, he was talking to you. We all have a different job to do in the mission fields. And if you go on a missions trip, you can confirm what the Holy Spirit is saying to you about what your part is. You know, in missions, there's missionaries like us that can, and Ursula and Pete, that can be long-term. And then there's missions where y'all go in for a week or 10 days, whatever, on a short trip and impact. And then there's sowing into missions work, which is the financial side of it, where you can do what you got to do from here and you send out. Because we need resources to accomplish this work. But everybody should be doing something in missions. And the reason I broke it down like this is because we've had people come into the mission field, come to the farm, and think that they're going to have an experience doing missions, which is going out, feeding people, praying for people, going to services, and going here and going there, which is nothing wrong. I'll enjoy that. But we have people think they're called into missions long-term, and they get there, and they realize it's work. And they'll ask Brother Frank and Sister Shelley, hey, how come we're not going to churches? How come we're not praying for people? How come we're not going here? How come? Well, because that's missions. We're missionaries. That means we get up at 5 and we work all day. Yes, she's right. We get up at 5, we work all day, and then we preach at night. And then you cook, and then when teams come in, you get up at 4, and you cook for the team, then you wash the dishes, then you go with the team, then you translate for the team, then you come back, and you feed the team lunch, and then you go out, and you preach again, and you come back, and you cook for the team, and you feed the team, and then we get to talk, and if we're lucky, we go to bed at 12, and then we get up at 4 again. I said, that's a missionary. But God gives you the grace to do it. But when you're there, you can discern which one you are. We're not all called to do that. And I'm telling you, without the grace of God, you can't do it. You will run yourself ragged. And I know by experience, because once I ran myself ragged. After the seventh team, one back to back. But God still gave me the grace in 45 minutes to 2 hours. I think I was good. Got back on my feet. But that's why it's important to go out there to see what your place is in this. What am I called to do? Don't feel bad if you're the financial end of it, because you're just as important. Don't feel bad if it's only a week or two or 3 days. Don't feel bad if you're just called to maybe finance and help downstairs with Jason. Or maybe just help with Jason, or maybe just go out to the 7-Eleven if y'all have any, or Walgreens. There's a mission field here too. And you're here longer than you're out there. But if we're not missions-minded, impacting, and realizing that there's souls out there that need to hear from you, and that we have a mandate on us, we won't do it. We'll just come to church every Sunday and Wednesday or Sunday night and do our part, and that's that. And I know y'all don't want that. Y'all are a power church. Y'all are a church full of the Holy Ghost. You're a church that's going to change a nation. And it's not about them. It's not about you. It's about the generation. It's about them little kids that was right here. My God, do you know how much God is going to bless that little change that they put in that jar? Before they get there? I need to get moving, huh? Everybody's saying, hey, you do know we eat lunch at 12 here, huh? But I'm on Texas time. That's 1 o'clock over there. Psalms 2:8, my favorite scripture. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, to the uttermost parts of the earth as your possession. Here's the question. Are we asking God for the nations? Are you asking God for the nations? This is a missions-minded church. But are you asking God for the nations? Many stay away from missions, but the question is, are you asking God in your prayer for the nations? Because the nations requires work and commitment. It requires discipline. And discipline produces an action forward with motion forward to the direction of God's will for your life in missions. But if you're not disciplined in disciples, you'll never hear the direction God has for you, because you're going to be doing what you want to do, not what He wants you to do. And since you're going to do what you want to do and not what He wants to do, you're not going to have no motion forward, no grace, no movement in that direction, because it really doesn't matter. But if you ask God for the nations, He's going to answer your prayer. And He's going to put that desire in you to go into the nations and do your part. Whether it be downstairs, whether it be on the street, whether it be out there, whether it be in Bulgaria, whatever the Lord leads you to do, whatever He leads you to give for this year, move on it. Because I'm going to tell you, God's not going to owe you what you sow today or this year. He's going to multiply that. And my God, you have to hear what I'm telling you. I do not work. I preach. And now I work, but it rains all the time, so I really don't work. But I lack nothing. I'm still a tither. I'm still a giver. I still give benevolence. Why? Because God's faithful. There ain't no way God's going to owe you nothing. All you have to do is believe Him. And believe that He's going to accomplish His will for your life. We're designed to be taking ground for the kingdom of God. We should be asking God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? What can I do to allow you to flow through me? Where can I impact a life? Where can I hug a child? Where can I feed a person? Where can I meet somebody's need that has no hope? You know how many people are out there that have no hope? And all God is asking for is for us to be the hope for them. And it probably would draw them to a church, if not this one, another one. Because they're going to say, there's something different about that person. He didn't criticize me for my place that I'm at right now in life. He didn't judge me. He blessed me. One of the biggest things rocking my aunt's life about a year ago, she's Jehovah's Witness, but she's criticized us all our lives. And I love her. But she come to the point, she goes, I don't understand this. Now I'm older. I've lost my husband. And the Baptist church is the one that's helping me with food. And they help me with a roof on my home. Where are my own people? Something to think about, huh? Who's out there that you know that needs a word of encouragement, a touch from heaven to meet a need? That's missions work. Where can I make a difference in a child's life? There's a lot of work to be done, guys. And we need to get to doing it. I'm not doing this and saying this to get you condemned. I'm doing this to get you motivated. I'm here to light a fire under you. Not just in Nicaragua, but right here where you live in Hastings, where the beautiful snow is at, where you could be out there building snowmen and y'all refuse to do it. All y'all want to do is whine and complain because the stuff don't melt and go away.
That's the first devil we're casting.
I love him. He said, you're going to come down here, bring in the snow. I said, bro, I know how to pray. I'm telling you, by the time I get there, y'all going to get some snow. You got your snow. I got my snow. Now, tomorrow, I love y'all, and I'm going to show you my love. I'm going to pray that it don't snow no more next week. And you're going to remember me. You're going to say, he didn't lie. They always said Mexicans lie a lot. That one didn't. You know, this project Jason's working on right now, I want y'all to pray earnestly. He needs help. Karen's going to need help. Pastor Scott, Pastor Don's going to need help. Every church involved here that's going to help do this, lift him up in prayer. That's a great work. Can you imagine a mother coming in here that has kids, maybe she's not married no more, or she's going through a rough time, and God reached down from heaven and said, here, I'm going to give you a place to stay. I'm going to put food in your children's mouths and stomachs. And I'm going to move you from place to place, and I'm going to show you the love of Christ. Something that that person might not have ever experienced in their life. And then we're going to pray and we're going to hope for their salvation. Not to push it on them, but just to show it to them through an embrace, meeting a need, and loving on them. You felt Christ when they built that ramp, even though you're a Christian and you're saved, but you felt the love of God that he dropped down from heaven. He said, you know what? He needs a ramp for his wife. This church met the need. It doesn't have to be something big. It can be something small. You know, the kingdom is all about agreement. One of my favorite scriptures, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the tongue, in the power of the tongue, and those who indulge it will eat the fruit thereof it. It's what we speak that will manifest in our lives. If we don't ask for the nations, you won't go into the nations. If you don't sow into the nations, you won't reap out of the nations. How can God give you the nations if you don't ask for the nations? There has to be agreement between you and God to go into the nations, to sow into the nations. When there's agreement between you and God, or 10 of you in prayer on Sunday night, surely our God's going to give you the desires of your heart. Surely he's going to meet that need. And it will manifest. In God's kingdom, it's all about sowing, reaping, seed time, and harvest. What you sow, you will reap. You know, I think last time I was here, I said, you know, if you don't like the life you're living, change the words that you're speaking. Because you're only living the life that you're speaking. I'm stupid. I'll never amount to nothing. I'm never going to have nothing. I'm always broke. Blah, 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 blah. Well, you know what? You're right. I'd rather agree with God. Hey, yeah, my wallet don't look too hot right now, but I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm just in between blessings. That's all. It's fixing to drop out of heaven. Yesterday I spoke. I'm just going to talk about it real quick. You know, 2-3 months ago, it looked like I might not be here another 4 years on this earth because problems I'm having with my liver. And the medication is $80,000. And I said, God, I already lost my Nahua. Then I'm not preaching everywhere as I preach. I don't have a job. I don't have a house. I can't eat if I don't have a job, and it's raining, I can't work. How much worse can this get? And then stupid me, I had to go to the doctor. And he just gives me a death report from hell. I didn't go home to my Bible. I didn't go home full of joy. I pouted. I walked around aggravated with God. Till I had to come to the point, I said, you know what? If my time is up and it's over with, so be it, because you're God and I'm not. And you have blessed me that I'm not a drug addict and alcoholic no more. I'm not in prison all the time. I'm free. And I have eternal life. And I'm going to focus on that instead of this. Because I know I can't come up with $80,000. 6 weeks ago, my doctor's secretary calls me, and she'd been pushing buttons, trying to get this medication I need. She goes, Frank, I got that medicine you need. I said, yeah, how much? She said, $3. I said, what? $3? Yeah, $3. Don't tell me we don't serve a miracle-working God. I'm on my 6th week now. I've taken my medication. 6 more weeks, poo, it's over. I'm good. Pastor Scott can't run me off. I'm not dying. But it doesn't mean that you're not going to go through that struggle of having to build your faith up, stir yourselves up, and rebuke your own soul and your thinking mind and your self-thought that's trying to wipe you out. What self-talk is wiping you out right now? Where are you limiting yourself in what God has for you? Because in reality, like me, you want to feel sorry for yourself. How could God do this to me? I've been a heathen all my life, and now I get saved, and boom, all this happens. I'm going to tell you, it's not God. There's a devil out there that wants to take you out. Because now you're dangerous. You're dangerous. I'm telling you, there's people here saying, man, I'm going to try this tithing stuff. I'm going to try this reaping and sowing stuff, because if it works for him, it has to work for me. And I'm telling you, it will. I could tithe and give all my life. And how am I going to pay God back for $80,000 medicine and years that I won't spend with my grandkids? You think that's not reaping a reward off that tithe? I can't outgive him. Because surely if he let me live and gave me medication, golly, what's in front of me? Do you know what's in front of me? I have 2 gardens now. They've been combined into one, and I got the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through me, working through me to shake the nations, to move and shake and stir people up, to give them hope where it feels like there is no hope. It's the hope of glory. It's the hope of Christ in you. You're not limited because of God. You're limited because of your thinking mind. So am I. God, man, y'all have so much potential. Where's Tyler at? Boy, if you only knew. I'm sorry, but if you only knew what God has in store for you. And I ain't going to tell you. Because you ain't going to be able to handle it. Jesus said, they're going to cut your head off. They're going to crucify you. They're going to beat you. And they're going to do a whole lot more things, but I don't want to tell you nothing because you can't handle it. Well, my God, how much worse can that get? If God would have told me all the stuff I have to go through and been through in my life, in our lives, through missions, I don't think I'd have followed it up. But I've grown enough to know now that he's always right here. And maybe you do go through trials. We all go through trials. Maybe you're going through some things right now. Don't focus on the trial. Focus on the growth. Focus on trusting in Him. Because I'm going to tell you, I rebuke what I'm fixing to say, but if I need a medication again, that God's going to give me that too. Surely if He did that, He's going to do this. If you read in the Bible, they always built an altar up when God would do something marvelous in their lives. When God blesses you financially, don't forget that day. My mom always said, Frankie, because she was an intercessor prayer warrior all her life, she said, he prayed over people. People have gotten healed. But when you're the one in the bed with cancer, it's a whole different story. When you're I prayed over a lot of people. We've cast a lot of devils out of people. I've seen people healed. We've just seen miracles. Not just here, but in Manawa. But when it happens to you, you start these stupid questions. Well, will God heal me? Will He touch me? Yes. The answer is yes. He will restore you. He will make you whole. He will make a way where it seems like there is no way. But your faith level goes way up here. You get to that point like, it's almost like being the best football player on the field. I mean, you know you're going to score. You know they can't stop you. You're invincible. Man, when God does miracles in your life, that's all you got, devil? You tried to kill me once, huh? That's a concept. That's an outlook you get on things. Okay, maybe things don't look good financially, but just wait till next week and you're going to see. Something's going to happen. God's going to shake something loose. But I have to watch what I speak here in these moments. I'm starting to understand what's going on. The four people I was talking to, this is hitting you. You don't have to get the CD now. 2 Corinthians 9:10, and God who provides seed for the sower and bread for eating will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, which manifests itself in active goodness, kindness, and charity. God will multiply. How many people want to be multiplied? How many people want to increase? This ain't a prosperity message. I'm telling you what God says. If you're faithful to do your part, He'll do His part. If you sow, God will increase. You don't sow, He don't have nothing to increase. It takes increase to sow more. We don't want to just give. We want to do in abundance. We want to come up here, enjoy dancing. Not coming up here, ooh, yeah. Here's my tithe, God. That's how we do it sometimes. I'm going to do it. But sure ain't no joy in it sometimes because that's all I got left. You want to be blessed in your work, your business? Give to God what belongs to God. We can't just believe part of the Bible. We have to believe all of the Bible. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. I know I'm hitting hard on this, but this is the base of missions. Because without sowing in that direction, whether it be in finances or your time or going, nothing's going to happen. Honor the Lord with the capital of your sufficiency from your righteous labors and with the first fruits of your income, so your storage places shall be filled with plenty and your vats shall be overflowing with new wine. Say overflow. I want overflow. Yeah, we want overflow. I want new wine. You want new wine? Tell God you need wine. Don't just shake your head. Tell God, yeah, I want new wine. Man, you got to speak this. God don't want to know your thoughts. He wants to hear your voice. He wants agreement with you. I believe that the success that we have in missions is for one reason. Because we sowed in the missions for years before we ended up in the mission field. And when we got there, we reaped the reward of other people's labor. And I mean, that farm just exploded in the way that things happened. But we sowed in that direction first. Because God had to prepare our hearts first. How are you going to go to a mission field and a mission base and give them all you have if you wouldn't give them $20 out of your wallet before you went there? This is where y'all's heart's at. It's where all our heart's at. How many of y'all shake when you got to get that out of there? You know, it's not too bad when you make $1,000 a week. You know, I got to give $100. I'll give an extra $20. And then as God started blessing us and blessing our business, it got so difficult for me, I had to tell Shelly to cut the check, because I'm telling you, when you go from giving $100 a week to $4,000, it rocks your world. And you don't want to wrap your mind around that. But that's to the point that God had taken us in our business. I mean, just prospered us in abundance. House, cars, Harley Davidsons that we did not buy or pay for. The house we bought with the Harleys, four-wheelers, race cars, dropped in my lap like things that I didn't even ask for. Give us so much that we had to give it away. They gave me a brand new 450 quad. I ended up giving that to my son, never drove it. Gave me a Harley Davidson custom bike, never drove it. Gave it to my brother-in-law. Huh? What? No, but I tell you what, I know another one's coming because I already sold one. So just could believe it when they give it to me, I'll give it to you because I don't need no bike. The devil is always trying to kill me. I ain't giving him no help. I don't only believe in the increase of the tithe, but we live it. Many times the devil's tried to keep us from tithing. Many times we barely made it to church and back because we didn't have gas money. Many times we gave our grocery money. But God was faithful and gave it back. I talked about this yesterday. I mean, one time we went to church and all we had was the grocery money. I went to give the tithe and Shelly said, "What are you doing? We don't have no food for the kids. We ain't got no gas for work. It's not ours." And I gave it. And through praise and worship, the associate pastor comes around the back and he puts a little thing in my pocket. He said, "We just wanted to bless you," and it was twice what I gave the tithe. You know, there's an order to giving. The devil would deceive you. If you make $500 a week, I'm using five because I only got five fingers on this hand. If I was an alien, I'd use 1,000. But if you put your groceries first, car notes, movies, theater, clothes, shoes, women, guns for men, and other stuff you need, and then you bring God his tithe, God has absolutely nothing to bless. But if you become faithful and you give God his tithe, he has this to bless. Don't get confused in the order that you give. You're still giving, but you're giving him nothing to bless. And the devil knows it. So always put God first in your giving so he can multiply what you have left. One of the desires we had in our company before we went into missions was to give 90% away. We got to 45% before God called us out to another nation. And the crazy part was my family would say, because sometimes my brothers would go to church with me and stuff, "Are you stupid? That's a lot of money. How can you give 45% away? How are you even focusing on 90? How are you going to live?" I said, "Well, you don't know what the 10% is. Surely if I give 90, now I don't live off $150,000, $200,000 a year. Now I got $2 or $3 million to live off of." And you see things like contracts that you don't want that God just, "Here, take it." Or you see cells, you see cars, you see all this just show up. Because you're faithful in doing your part. And God's not going to owe you nothing. I'm telling you right now, I live it every day. Every day. And here's the crazy part. My kids even live part of this. And they're not all in the church. But just because of who we are and what we do, he's faithful to my kids. And so many times I just say, "God, this just ain't fair. I'm paying the price, and they're reaping the reward. Don't worry about them." And I'm starting to understand it now because my kids tell me, "Dad, you don't work. Mom don't work. And you're helping us out. And we make $28 an hour and can't make ends meet." I said, it's called tithing. Read on it, apply it, and then live it. And then you can be a blessing for your kids. You know, the Bible says you leave an inheritance. I always thought it said for your children, but it doesn't. It says for your children's children. You ever read it like you read it? It says you leave an inheritance. I always felt bad. God, now I don't have nothing. I mean, I get by. I had to shut my mouth because I was speaking death already. What am I going to leave my kids? He says you leave them wisdom. You leave them what I've taught you. But your inheritance goes to your grandkids. And then their inheritance goes to their grandkids. And then it continues on. The chain cannot be broken if you're faithful. Because it's possible if I leave my inheritance to my kids and they don't honor it, that it dies. So God was so smart the way he put it. It's for your children's children. Your kids need to learn to live the life you live. And I believe they learn because they watch their parents live a supernatural life just like you will and do. Something to think about, huh? I even tithe on my birthday present. Whatever, anything that hits these hands, I tithe on it. And I never close these hands. If God blesses me with $1,000, right off the bat, I have to come to the conclusion that maybe none of it's for me. Because the minute I close that hand, the flow stops. Because now it's become about me. And that's sowing and reaping. God is looking for faithful people that he can pass money through. One of the biggest mistakes, and I see it all the time, is people that get in the church, they tithe, they give, God supernaturally blesses them, and there ain't nothing wrong with this, but before you know it, they have 5 or 6 houses, 2 or 3 planes, motorcycles, boats, and there's nothing wrong with having things if God told you to get it. But how much of that is for missions work that didn't go to missions? How much of that is to do works in the church that didn't go into the church? I ain't trying to condemn nobody, I'm just telling you. The devil's a deceiver, and you got to be careful. Malachi 3:10, we talked about it a while ago. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse. The whole tenth of your income into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now by it, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. How many of y'all want the windows of heaven open upon your life? You know that movie, that word windows really means floodgates. Can you imagine? Have y'all been to a dam where they open them floodgates? It just... But I believe a lot of the churches don't see that because they just see trickles here and there because of the tithe. It's amazing the percentage you just gave. That's almost unheard of. I have never heard of a church that's 95% giving. I'm not trying to butter you up for a better lunch or nothing, but... You got to speak prophetic food, too. You know what I'm saying? That's unheard of. That's unheard of. That's awesome. I want to encourage you to apply this to your life. It's the first step you're going to take into mission. Start being faithful, giving God what belongs to God. There's a lot of work that needs to be done, a lot of ground that needs to conquer. There's a hurting world out there that needs you. You are a part of it. We have to keep an agreement with God and speak into existence what we're agreeing with God about. Not just in missions, but in your family, in your business, in your work. Don't settle for just being, I ain't criticizing nobody, a labor, but hey, put your focus on that supervisor's job. God, I have your favor. I want that position. I don't care if I don't have the education. I have the mind of Christ. I can do it. If you feel called, that God's calling you to that place, do it. I tell you, it was my biggest struggle when I opened my business because I didn't get past 9th grade, in and out of jail, and I was my worst enemy. I can't do that. I don't have enough education. I'm really good at numbers, and the only reason I'm that is because I used to be in the gangs and I did stuff I shouldn't be doing with money. Don't limit God in your life. We're here to recover what was lost. What was lost? The garden. Salvation. That's our job now, to regroup, to recover that which was lost. Jesus said, I came to recover that which was lost, which was the garden in your life. salvation. Y'all remember the day y'all was saved? For many of us here, or me, I gave up. By this time, I wasn't drinking and drugging no more, but had a job, had money, had a house, but just suicidal. Just didn't care. Didn't matter anymore. Just living day by day in survival mode. Maybe some of y'all didn't struggle at it, but can you remember the day that you were saved? The day that you had that encounter with Jesus Christ and he came into your life and he changed things? I believe other people deserve that same opportunity. And you are the vessel that brings that light. If somebody was so gracious to come minister to you in a time of need, in a time of hurt, I believe we owe it to ourselves to do the same thing for somebody else. Where's that fire we had when we first got saved? Jumping around, dancing. Yeah, I mean, you wanted to tell everybody. But we live in a world that's just so much struggle and problems and affliction that we lose that fire. And we just don't act like we did before. Who led y'all to the Lord? Do y'all remember? Who led you to the Lord? You remember? Aren't you grateful for that person? What would it be like for you right now without that person coming into your life? Or for some of us, would we even be alive? I don't think I would be. Not to the time that I am now. It's your turn now. Whether it be in the mission field, whether it be downstairs within families, whether it be at Walgreens, whether it be at the gas station, it's your turn. She laughs, but I'm serious. Walgreens is a good place. Buy a Coke right there, I'll come visit with you later. I still remember the lady that led me to the Lord. Her name was Miss Deborah. And she would always come by and pick up the kids for church. And she would say, "You want to go to church?" I said, no, thank you. Every Wednesday, every Sunday. "You want to go to church?" I said, no, thank you. And after a while, it kind of got aggravating for me. I said, "Look, if I want to go to church, I'll tell you. But until then, you see this Budweiser can I got right here? They're going to bury me with a six-pack. Thank you." That went on for 2 years. That lady never stopped. Every Wednesday, every Sunday, she'd pick up the kids. "Sure you don't want to go to church?" I think she about had a heart attack that one Wednesday when she came. She goes, "You want to go to church?" I said, "Yeah, today is the day." By then, I'd done had enough. I just had things. I had cars. We had a new house, and nothing was filling that void. I didn't realize it was there. And I said, "Today is the day." She just looked at me like, my God, she didn't even know what to do. Went to church, went 2 more weekends. The pastor made a call to come up front for salvation. I saw everybody had to go to the front, so I said, "I better lay low till next weekend because I don't know about this walking up there stuff." Next weekend come around, he did an altar call. He said, "Look, we got to beat the Baptist to the restaurant? Yeah, the Ryan's right there, so we got to get out a little early today." I said, "But if anybody out there wants to accept Christ and you've had enough and you want to receive Jesus Christ in your heart, just put your hand up where you're at right there." I said, "Oh, yeah, this is me." I put my hand up there. He goes, "You know what? There's about 8 of you. Why don't y'all just walk up here to the front?" I said, "Ah." And I tell you what, it felt like God himself picked me by the collar like this, just yanked me out of my seat, and I just went down the aisle. Accepted the Lord, and my God, I have not drank, I have not drugged, I have not done nothing since that day, and it's been over 15 years. What drug rehab couldn't do, what ADAC couldn't do, what the prison system couldn't do, Jesus Christ did it within a second. The problem is, he left the stupid thinking mind that I got in me. I am my worst enemy. You are your worst enemy. You don't really need a devil to destroy you. Our self-talk alone will do it. So what can we do now? Let's go out there and give a kind word to somebody, a helping hand to somebody, go build a ramp, go encourage somebody, go tell them what Jesus did for you. It doesn't matter if you look cuckoo, they think you cuckoo anyways. Embrace somebody with the love of Christ, somebody that's never felt Christ, somebody that's probably maybe even beaten down through church. And show them what Jesus is about. If you can't show them Jesus, you're not going to preach Jesus to them, I'm telling you, because you're a liar. I want to encourage you. Go out there and find your worst enemy and just, how you doing, buddy? I want to buy you some lunch. Yeah, I didn't like that idea. Say, I forgave that person. Well, yeah, why do you run out the grocery store every time you see them in there? Well, you go to the next aisle so they don't see you. You see, the kingdom's not about external camouflage. It's about internal change. You can fake it till you make it out here, but it's in here that we need to change. The new kingdom is internal. In Mark 6:30, he said to the apostles, he sent them out as missionaries, come back, gather together Jesus, and he told them all that they had been taught. Say, Jesus is talking to me again. Jesus is talking to me again. He's talking to you. I'm going to tell you, it's a great experience and a privilege to come back from a missions trip and to tell your church members of what God did for you and what he has used you to do in the mission field. If you haven't gone, you owe it to yourself. Some of you here have that experience. It's one of the most gratifying things you'll ever do in your life. To hug a child. Pastor Don, man, there's a young lady, Jennifer's her name, they call her Jenny. I mean, when she sees her, she just, why? Because she's never had a family. And even though she only sees her in spurts, she attracts to her as her family. We have kids that just hug us and embrace us and don't let us go. Lizzie has certain little kids that like her, little boys that follow her like a little puppy. I'm going to tell you, to embrace a child that you don't know and that child loves you back and don't want to leave you alone, it's very gratifying. To go to the landfills and feed somebody, or to go to the landfills where you see a mother scrounging through all the trash with her kids following her, just trying to make ends meet and get enough plastic where she can go sell so she can have dinner, that's gratifying. To give somebody a word when they have no hope, that's gratifying. Sorry. Blew your ears off. Wake up, y'all, back there in the back. Visiting nursing homes. I'm going to wrap this up. Pastor Scott said, thank God I'm getting hungry. You just got to go. Just once. I would tell you twice, but I know once you go once, it's going to be enough. She's already crying. I cry. Why? Why do I cry? Because my heart. It's the heart of Christ in me. It's the heart of Christ in you that wants to make a difference. I don't just want to be a church attender. I don't just want to come here on Sundays or maybe Wednesdays. I want to leave this earth with purpose. I want to leave this earth, even if I would have left this time around, knowing that I've spoken to somebody's life or could change somebody's life and reap fruit off that work. What y'all do is building eternal rewards in heaven. What your pastors do. How many lives would not have changed if you wouldn't have shown up at the farm? Would Jennifer have felt that embrace? Would you have ministered a word to a person that needed it? Was there a kid, Lizzie, that you touched that had no hope, but you showed up? And Sarah, and Karen, and Jason?
Well,
how about if Pastor Scott said, I don't want to do missions. It costs too much money. We're barely making it now. I would have not met this man. I love talking to him. Sharing revelation with him. That wouldn't have happened. I wouldn't have met y'all. I wouldn't have met nobody here. Because we would not. If you take anything home today, please don't forget this. There's a domino effect to your decisions. There's a domino effect to the decision not to give and not to do missions work. And I'm not trying to say it so you feel condemned. I'm saying it because one day you're going to go before Christ, whether you believe it or not, and he's going to have a double-edged sword coming out of his mouth and fire in his eyes. And he said, I called you into the nations. I sent a prophet into your church to tell you and give you revelation what I had you designed for and what your purpose was, but you did not want to do it. What are we going to say? What would I say if I would have said, no, God, you let me get sick. You let this happen to me. I don't care about them kids. I don't care about George. I don't care about Haseli. I'm not worried about that. Everything stops. And I have to answer for that. It's scary, ain't it? You could just walk out that door. Look, if you don't have a lot, start with $20. Whatever God leads you to, but you need to start with something. He's not going to owe you them $20. And then $20 is probably going to turn into $600 just to show you that you're hard-headed. But my God, how much are you missing out on life? Because you would not. How many people in my destiny and my future will I not meet if I don't kneel down to his purpose and give in to his calling? How many people are y'all going to impact through this program downstairs? Out of them families that come here, just imagine, let's go crazy here. Just imagine how much of them families, y'all might have little prophets and teachers and pastors that come out of that. You might have missionaries that come out of that. Souls that come out of that. People that was going to burn. They was going to go to hell. And you played a part in that. Even if it was just with $20. I want to stir you up. I want to get you motivated. It's not about you, Cupcake. It's about us working in unity, in power, and the blessings that God gives us to impact the hurting world. Don't focus on you. Focus on them. God will worry about you. God will deal with you. God will work with you. God will bless you. Be a blessing to somebody else. I'm expecting to hear some good responses from Pastor Scott. I'm pretty good at reading people. You're easy. I believe, and I ain't trying to make Jason feel bad or Pastor Scott, but I believe that the number that they have in their mind, it's not even doing justice. I'm telling you, this church is going into a place of overflow, a new place, the pruning's over, the new people are coming in, more to come in. And I believe that this program is going to be part of that. There's young men and young women here that are going to be bringing in some more youth. But unless we act and live like Christ, they will not come. They want to see Jesus in each and every one of you when they walk through them doors. They want to feel Jesus in you everywhere you go. You are the light of the world. You are their hope. And I want to tell you right now, there ain't no devil that can stop you. There is no weapon formed against you that will prosper.